in early June of 2003 at a very important economic conference in Cancun, Mexico. When I was giving my lecture on 9/11 and the world since, I said that before the year 2003 was out, there was going to be a major blackout somewhere in the U.S., and of course, we had the huge blackout in the Northeast. Parenthetically, it's kind of interesting to note that the U.S. Congress passed weather control acts in 1970 and 76, which have to do with controlling weather around the world. The technology exists, patents exist, and I've done some research very clearly showing that project known as HARP, based in Alaska, is part of this weather control program used in conjunction with chemtrails, which people have seen all over the country for several years, which include heavy metals like cadmium, barium, and so forth that are sprayed in the stratosphere. Well, what the chemtrails do is they charge the jet stream. And when those charge particles are hit with the HARP energy, it literally diverts the jet stream to control weather. And we had some 80 days in the summer of 2003 where the temperature on the average never got above 80 degrees. The importance of that is that America was on the brink of running completely out of natural gas in 2003. A very mild summer was necessary to replenish natural gas stocks going into the winter of 2003-2004. And if air conditioning use had been exceptionally high in a hot summer, there would have been no way to fill the reserves up. But controlling the weather is very much like squeezing a balloon. If you control it in one place, it bulges in someplace else. And gee, isn't it strange that we had 10 to 15,000 people die of heat in France this summer? When I was in Berlin in September, the temperatures were in the high 70s, low 80s, unbelievably abnormal. So we see these kinds of desperation moves that are really confirming the whole model of peak oil and the effects that it is beginning to have. I did an interview recently with the world's largest energy investment banker, Matthew Simmons, of Simmons & Company International Houston. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was an advisor to Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force. He has been a friend of George Bush and Dick Cheney, although he's proven to be a very honorable man. And he gave me an exclusive interview on the blackout. His clients include the World Bank. And he said very clearly that the Northeast blackout was a direct result of, number one, deregulation, which destroyed excess capacity because the current financial model squeezes every dollar out of profits but doesn't think about the future. And you have to have built-in elasticity, like 25% above normal demand to account for a very hot summer or a hurricane or other things. And excess capacity was destroyed. But now we find ourselves in a place where people are saying we have to solve this energy problem by rebuilding the infrastructure, transmission lines, and generating capacity. And Matt Simmons was very clear that the new plants to provide this new energy that we have to have for economic growth are not going to be built. And the reason why they aren't going to be built is because there's nothing to power them. He said in the interview, who would invest hundreds of millions of dollars for a 1% return on their investment? He had a couple of interesting statements, and he was talking about this winter, the coming winter of 2003-2004. He said, the winter could have been a major disaster. We've seen a price collapse in natural gas to the $5 to $8 range. That's per 1,000 cubic feet. And the only reason that happened was throughout almost the entire summer, there were only a handful of days when the temperature rose above 80 degrees anywhere. That was miraculous. It allowed us to prepare for the winter, but we shouldn't be optimistic. One good hurricane, and as we record this, there's a hurricane, a Category 5 hurricane right off the Florida coast that disrupts production, one blazing heat wave, one freezing winter after that, and we're out of solutions. And in essence, he's confirming what I have been saying for a while, is that people are going to start to die from weather conditions. Matt was very forthcoming. He also said that when it comes to blackouts, you have to look deeper because we are so dependent upon electricity. He said, we also see that the inevitable issues that follow a major blackout are very serious. No water, no sewage, no gasoline. The gasoline issue is very important. Our gasoline stocks are at near all-time lows. With the blackout, more than 700,000 barrels per day of refinery capacity were shut down. People were told to boil their water. So what do? They go to their electric stove, which isn't working. Then what? These are things that people have not prepared for or thought about. And in talking about the economic effects that are looming as a result of peak oil and gas, again, this is an energy investment banker, so he tracks all the financial implications. And I asked him, assuming that there was enough feedstock to run the new plants, and that's a very big assumption, how much building are we talking about? And he said, it's amazing. He said, each state would need to build 40 to 50% excess capacity. A 40% cushion merely provides the chance to withstand a day of high summer heat and the chance to grow by about 3% a year for 3 years. Now, these plants are not going to be built. Now, we live in an economic paradigm that demands growth. Wall Street demands growth. With fractional reserve banking, with debt-based financing, if there is no growth, the markets inherently collapse. And this is where the demand for infinite growth from the current economic situation collides with finite energy. And Matt said at the end of the interview, he said, basically, future economic growth is no longer possible. That's one of the most significant events in American and world history, when all world economies in the G8 nations, let's say, are based upon growth. But every other indicator says that it's not happening. That's why we see these very large mergers of oil companies, because they're downsizing. I heard a report on Bloomberg recently. Bloomberg guy was saying, good news for Chevron stockholders today. Chevron announced it's increasing its annual dividend, and I think he said by 50%. He said the reason for that is that Chevron is not investing in any new drilling, so their costs are being reduced, and they're not drilling because the Chevron has said there's no oil to find. And that was put out as good news. That's a very bizarre twist that, for me, best exemplifies the almost psychotic nature of economic thinkers and political thinkers right now. Peak oil is here, and peak gas is here. People are already dying from it. 15,000-20,000 non-combatants, civilians in Afghanistan, 35,000 in Iraq, 10,000 in France, and this is just the beginning. Before the age of oil, planet Earth could only sustain a population of about 2 billion people. Since the oil age, and this was going back 2,000 years, two millennia, since oil was introduced roughly 100 years ago, the population curve just went straight up, and we now have 6.5 billion people heading toward 8 billion people by the middle of the century. And hydrocarbon energy has made all of that possible. If you take that away, people will inevitably starve.